In this episode of Movie Wallahs, we're going to go teen on you. We're going to review the movies Warm Bodies and Beautiful Creatures. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. So Rashmi, you were in the back of an airplane this week.
I was in the back of an airplane.
And you managed to get out of New York before the epic storm.
I did. I was literally on the plane and the snow was accumulating on the windows and it was all very dramatic.
Started snowing?
Yeah, there was accumulation on the windows and we had to de-ice and it was a, will they get out of there or won't they? So it's all a very dramatic scene in my head.
This pisses me off. The whole media, especially, you know, channels like CNN and these 24-hour news channels are like, storm of the century and panic. And my mum actually wrote me an email saying, is Rashmi okay? There's a cataclysmic storm heading for the East Coast. I was like, cataclysmic? Really?
Yeah, she did use that word.
I was like, what the hell? I'm like, what are they hearing in England?
I didn't even think I could spell that word.
You know, and okay, they're going to have some snow and I hope no one gets hurt or injured. But, you know, when we live back on the East Coast, it just sounded to me like this was going to be another snow day.
No, it was bad. But anyway, being on the back of a plane, I did get to catch up on a few movies. So I caught up on some oldies, Betty Blue. I watched How to Survive a Plague. I watched Citadel.
Yeah, I'm interested in How to Survive a Plague. I've watched the first half hour of that. Well, it's available on Netflix, and it's an Oscar-nominated documentary, right?
It is, and I think we'll be doing a review.
We'll be doing a review
next time.
Yes. Cool. All right. Well, let's focus on our movies for this week. We're going to talk about Warm Bodies and Beautiful Creatures. So let's go to Warm Bodies first. So Warm Bodies is basically, it's a zombie flick. I love zombie flicks. And it's a funny new twist on a classic love story. It's about a guy who is one of the undead. He's wandering around, shuffling around, and he encounters a girl played by Teresa Palmer. And the two of them essentially strike up a relationship. And a sequence of events that begins to transform the world in which they live. It's a kind of a post-apocalyptic world. And the movie's directed by Jonathan Levine. It stars, as I already mentioned, Teresa Palmer, Nicholas Holt. It has an appearance by John Malkovich. So as a huge fan of zombie flicks, I'm interested to hear what you guys thought about it. Rashmi, tell me what you thought of Warm Bodies.
You know, I wasn't expecting much from this, but I really wanted to watch this because I had the perception that it wasn't going to be a scary zombie movie. I was right. This is a mashup genre. This is zombie meets romance. It's a rombie, but it pulled at my heartstrings and won me over.
Sorry, I just got that.
I think this is going to appeal to adults who don't like Twilight.
So, did you like?
Yeah, I really like this movie.
Yes, Dee.
So, when I wrote up my top 10 films of 2011, my number one movie was 50-50. A movie that barely registered on anyone else's radar. But I think there are some filmmakers who resonate with you and speak your mind's language. And here is the same filmmaker, Jonathan Levine, with Warm Bodies, a zombie flick of all things. And I must confess, zombies and films about them do nothing for me. I mean, I do not watch The Walking Dead, have never felt like doing so on television.
And we dragged you to the crazies.
You dragged me to see the crazies. So I went into this movie with some degree of trepidation. And Warm Bodies demonstrates, once again, that it is irrelevant what a film is about. All that matters is how it goes about telling its story. This film betters the genre it belongs to after having seen it. I have fierce love for it.
Oh,
I loved it.
It's because it was a rombi.
And I'll talk about why I loved it so much.
Yeah, another thumbs up from me. I mean, I like the zombie genre in general. I think zombies are just such a cool concept. And this movie immediately opens with a twist. We never, ever see things from the zombie's point of view. We almost always... No, seriously.
Like, no, it's just... It's funny. It's true, but it's... When you actually verbalize it, it's one sentence.
The zombies are the people that are kind of wandering around, and all they are is cannon fodder. This movie opens with a zombie giving you his opinion of what's happening to him in the world. So he's self-conscious but unable to express it. Loved it. It's like there is a conscious being trapped in this undead prison in many ways. And so as soon as it opened, I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that, you know, and I just had fun. And then the story went from silliness to silliness. It was kind of a Romeo and Juliet type situation, you know, classic love story tension with, you know, the fact that he's dead, keeping them apart from true love. But what a great fun premise, and it delivered.
So Joe, I'm just going to say it. This movie mm-hmm. is the reason why I so absolutely thoroughly hated Hansel and Gretel. This is how you take a genre and make it better. Yeah, you elevate the genre. You don't wallow in it, you know. And I think the biggest surprise for me is how the film crept up on my inner romantic. I mean, I find almost...
And you are soppy.
I am soppy, but, you know, I find almost all demonstrations of romance in current films, you know, these teenage things, silly and plastic. Yeah. But this film is just so moony and genuine in its sweepy romanticism, you know, that... You know, with the lightness of touch, which I think this is like voodoo. It's like lightning in a bottle. It's very difficult to capture this and be genuine and authentic about it. And I'm going to go all out and say I think this movie might, you know, land up as one of the better regarded romantic movies of all time.
You know, I think of all time. I thought you were going to say of the year.
I thought I was going to say of the year. Wow. When Harry Met Sally off my perch.
Yeah, I agree. I know what you're saying there, Yazdi. I think a lot of it has to do with the casting, because I think mm-hmm. it's because he used relatively unknowns or people who haven't been seen in a lot of films. And so I think because of that, it was a little bit, you know, we got swept away in the believability of it. For me, it was just sweet and cute. And I think at its core, I think what resonated with me was it was about accepting differences. And I think those sort of movies really resonate with me mm-hmm. and capture my heart.
Mm. I mean, I think for me, what I especially enjoyed in this was I didn't know how they were going to resolve the mm-hmm. fact that he was a zombie and the fact that she was a living human and bring them together in the way that they did. I mean, I could see a friendship striking up, but I couldn't see romance. And to see the movie kind of cleverly address that over the course to the point where I found myself really believing and rooting for the two of them. It's like, you're destined to be together. You know, I mean, I never feel that way in movies. And here it was really cleverly done. And it's such an original idea. It's a kind of thing that you look at and think, why has no one ever done this before? It's like slap yeah. around the head, because it is ridiculous, but they've done it with zombies. They've done it with vampires in the Twilight series. They've done it, you know, with werewolves and other kinds of beastly creatures. So why not zombies? And I think zombies are so inherently disgusting because they're dead. You can think, who would ever love, you know, a pile of rotting, walking corpse flesh, you know?
He was easy on the eye for young teens, I guess, though.
I know, but it was believable. It was believable.
But I think it's precisely how it finds the way to resolve this situation in terms of how unabashedly it just gets moony. It just gets the sweeping romanticism. Mm-hmm. It builds it into the movie. I mean, in terms of how are you going to resolve this issue? One of them is dead. The other one is alive. How are they ever going to be happily together? And I love how from that point onwards is when I just kind of settled in and liked the movie. The movie in many ways reminded me of another film which nobody else liked, which I really liked last year, which was The Adjustment Bureau, which starts out as this sci-fi retro chic movie and then kind of turns out to be a very, very romantic film. So I kind of like movies which kind of turn and show their...
romantic Yazdi's back.
Yes.
You had been hiding for a while.
I'm also glad it ended up not feeling as sickly, stupidly, overly dramatic as the Twilight series. I mean, I don't like Twilight. I haven't seen them, so I guess it's a little unfair for me to bash it in the way that I do. But yeah, you know, it didn't feel overly, you know, dramatic and hormonal.
Well, it didn't take itself as seriously, and it was a little bit more tongue in cheek. So it had that bandwidth to play a little bit more and be playful. I think.
I think the love wasn't this kind of, you know, you are my world is everything, and I'm gonna, you know, kill myself if I can't be with you kind of thing that, you know, the Kristen Stewart role had in Twilight.
Yeah,
she resisted a lot. In many ways, because he was a freaking zombie.
Yeah.
And so as that kind of resolved itself, it was really nice to see. And it was gentle. It was gently done. And I think, you know, Yazdi, you liked 50-50 a lot. Mm-hmm. It also took a not very heavy hand, I think, to the emotionality of what the Joseph Gordon-Levitt character was going through. And so this director, I think, understands that the emotions can't be too strong in order for us to believe them.
It's interesting John Malkovich was in this movie. I was kind of surprised, and given, you know, what a great actor he is, I think he was a bit underused here, but I guess everyone needs a paycheck.
Yeah. I mean, I think, and you mentioned about this earlier, I think the film's charm, and I think charming is as accurate an adjective as you will find to describe the movie. I think it comes from the two main lead actors, and, you know, in particular, Nicholas Hoult, who has been quietly building, I think, a very impressive resume that belies his young age. I mean, he was in About a Boy.
I know.
He was in A Single Man, you know, that movie with...
He was the teenage
lover of Colin Firth.
You know?
And he was in Skins, the British television series. I mean, and, you know, I think there are many scenes in the first half of the movie where, you know, he effortlessly kind of delivers humor with just a grunt or a facial mannerism. And this kind of stuff can get very cloying or annoying. But, you know, I think it somehow, you know, these two actors make it work. And, you know, Teresa Palmer, who I'm ashamed to say I've never noticed before in any other movie, she, you know, has this kind of Kristen Stewart-ish affect to her. But even she makes, there's some very wild, you know, emotional turns in terms of what her character goes through. And she kind of handles it like a pro. She makes it really believable.
She seemed like a very nice version of Hayden Panettiere for me.
Yeah, that's exactly who I thought of. Oh. But she was actually in I Am Number 4. She was number 6.
Okay.
Do you remember number 6 that jumped in, guns blazing?
No. I've erased everything about that movie from my mind.
I had the same reaction when I saw what she was in as well.
But yeah, she was incredibly sweet and just believable and fun. So,
okay.
I mean, the only other thing I will say is that, you know, this movie takes that most ill-reputed of cinematic concepts, that of the montage, and in two or three different occasions just betters it. I mean, the movie has two or three montage sequences and they're perfect. You know, I usually roll my eyes when the music comes on and this montage comes on, and it's done very well here.
Okay, let's wind it up. So, Yazdi, you go first.
I mean, how can I find fault with a zombie movie that finds the means to throw in a Romeo and Juliet balcony scene in the middle of it? I mean, this is why the movie is so clever, and I think this movie
didn't even notice that. That's,
yes,
yeah.
It's Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, that's absolutely.
I mean, it's so brilliant how it's all... There's abundance of talent and cleverness here, I think. I think the movie is much better than it needs to be, and I'm going to use the G word for it. I think this is a great film. I think this movie probably will be on my list of the best movies of the year.
I'm waiting for the score. Is it coming?
It's an 8.5 out of 10, and I can't bring myself to give it a 9 just yet. But, you know, I must say, the more I think about it, the more it brings a smile to my face. So who knows, maybe a month from now it'll be a 9. Definitely by a big, wide margin, the best movie I've seen this year so far. By a wide, wide, wide margin.
So 8.
So 8 out of 10.
Joe?
I enjoyed this movie a lot. You know, a movie only has to have zombies in it for me to automatically like it. So, you know, again, right from the get-go, I think the cleverness of the script and the idea here, the obviousness of the, you know, why did no one ever do this before, really, it was just kind of a genius concept. And I think in part the reason no one's ever done it before is it doesn't make sense. You kind of, you know, you can set the scene, but then how do you resolve it? So really good stuff. It was funny, it was sweet, I was smiling all the way through it. 8 out of 10.
You know, with Valentine's Day around the corner, this is a great movie to take your loved one or just to go out and see with your friends. I love this movie too. I'm gonna give this one an 8 out of 10 as well. 3/8.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, you all like zombies.
No.
Oh, I nearly peed myself. That was funny.
So let's move from zombies to the more spiritual, mythical genre with the movie Beautiful Creatures. Rashmi, can you introduce this one for us?
So this is a supernatural love story set in the South. It tells the tale of two star-crossed lovers, Ethan, a young man longing to escape his small town, and Lena, a mysterious new girl. Together, they uncover dark secrets about their respective families, their history, and their town. This is directed by Richard Lagravanes and written by Cami Garcia, and it stars Jack O'Connell, Alden Ehrenreich, Alice Englert, Emma Thompson, Viola Davis, Emmy Rossum, Jeremy Irons, and Thomas Mann. So I didn't get to see this one. I did see the trailers, and it looked like something mythical and mystery-like, which I thought I would like.
Well, you know, the but other thing I that I think the movie had going it for it, as far as you're concerned, is same director, same writer as P.S. I Love You, which I know.
Oh, which I love.
As well as, I think he wrote Freedom Writers. Again, Rashmi, that's another movie.
I also love that one.
He wrote and
one.
Directed those. So,
maybe I'll... So tell me.
I think he also did a movie with Holly Hunter and Queen Latifah, who's... And the name of the movie is not coming to me, but yeah. He's been around for a while.
Okay, so will I love this one? And did you love this one?
So for me, I really was fighting with this movie from the beginning. It's not the kind of thing I like. It had a very Twilighty premise. But overall, this movie kept me with it all the way through. I won't say that I loved this film, but it had such a sweetness to it. There was this lovely interplay between the main protagonist who... Is it a spoiler to say that she was a witch?
No.
So she's basically a witch coming up to her 16th birthday, at which point she'll be either a good witch or a bad witch. And this young fella that falls head over heels in love with her. This movie was really well done. I thought it was well executed. It was very sweet. It's not a great movie. I don't think it holds up to, let's say, Warm Bodies. But it was a very fun teeny flick. And it was not overly... It was not overly hormonal in... I guess in places it was overly hormonal, but it was just nicely balanced with, you know, some credible writing and some really fine performances.
And good cast. Yes, Dee. Mm-hmm.
Almost identical to what Joe said. I mean, I think as these... And I have to, like you, confess up front, I'm not the target audience for this movie. This is a movie which is very, very abjectly looking to fill this, you know, the empty gaping hole left behind by the end of the Twilight series, mm-hmm. obviously. And, you know, as these sorts of films go, I have to say it is not like Hansel and Gretel awful. But at the same time,
that's,
you know...
That's going to be your yardstick now, isn't it? That's going to be my yardstick. I think it could turn into a drinking game.
Yes.
Every time Yasmin says on any podcast, Hansel and Gretel, take a shot.
I'm going to buy a bottle of vodka for our next podcast.
For the next one.
Yeah, there you go.
But at the same time, it doesn't quite reach the heights of, say, Warm Bodies, which we just discussed. And I know this is not exactly high praise, but I did appreciate the humor in a lot of the dialogue. I mean, you don't expect a funny script in a film such as this. And, you know, I guess my overall assessment is that while this movie is by no means great, it is so much better than it could have been.
Yeah. Yeah, it's entirely predictable. And I think that's, you know, the one thing that it has on its downside. But, you know, there's some lovely moments. And I really like the male lead in this. I forget his mm-hmm. name. Jack O'Connell. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what else he's been... No, sorry, it wasn't Jack O'Connell, was it? It was... So I really like the male lead in this, Alden Ehrenreich. I thought he was just really great in terms of how he portrayed this guy who was in love with somebody who had obstacles in being able to love him back.
So what about, I was just going to say, like, Jeremy Irons, Viola Davis, I mean, you know, Emma Thompson.
Yeah, so here's the irony, right? I mean, I went to see this film. I had no desire to watch this movie, knowing this is like a, you know, teenage kind of vampire-ish movie. The only reason I went to see this movie is based on the cast. I mean, Jeremy Irons, Emma Thompson, Viola Davis.
Right.
I mean, I will gladly watch a film with just any one of those three. But here's, you know, and all three of them are there. And here's the funny part is they all do extremely capable, you know, parts in the movie. And, you know, they're asked to do a lot of very silly stuff.
Mm.
But actually, I think the movie is better mm-hmm. when it gets back to the two main leads.
Yes.
Hmm.
You know, when the movie stops being about these professional actors doing their professional acting.
Yes.
And it comes back to these young lovers, the movie actually, mm-hmm. those are the best parts of the movie. So it's so ironic that I went to see, you know, Viola Davis or Emma Thompson but you know, and I think it's the two lead actors, and I really admire that there's nothing overly glamoury, starlet-y about either of them.
Right.
You know, both of them are very, very average looking.
I was going to say, it sounds like Warm Bodies, where they're relatively unknown. And is that what kind of captures the charm? Do you think that's got something to do with it?
For me, it felt more like Crazy, that movie last year, the indie flick.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Rashmi, I forgot. You didn't like that one, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, to me, that the chemistry felt very much like that. They were, you know, there were two young lovers being kept apart by circumstances essentially outside of their control. You
and
know,
the classic, inner romantic of Joe
the
Campbell.
Classic cliche. But, this was nicely done. And I think their chemistry, because it wasn't about the big actors here. They had these ancillary roles, and I think in part they were brought to bring some name recognition to what is otherwise an unknown cast. But I'm glad they cast these two guys, because they're the two young leads, because they did it so nicely. And they were so believable.
But I guess the point I was trying to make earlier is, you know, nobody's going to argue with you that Robert Pattinson or Kristen Stewart or even, what's his name?
Taylor Lautner.
They're exceptionally, you know, well-toned, good-looking people. I mean, it's almost impossible to make them bad-looking.
Mm-hmm.
In this movie, neither of the two leads, no. If you were to look at them, you would go out of your way to say that they're exceptionally good-looking. In fact, they're very anti-Hollywood.
Mm.
And I like that, you know, they've chosen very average-looking people who clearly can act and do a pretty good job with it. You almost kind of endear yourself to their personality traits. You know, and I commend that.
And is this heavily CG? I mean, given it's kind of like mythical, mystical, fairy tale-ish, is there a ton of CG type stuff?
At moments, it becomes quite CG, but it never felt like it was, you know, animation.
Okay.
So, you know, they used it, I think, judiciously.
Okay.
You know, there's lots of storm cloud type effects, but it's not an overly CG movie to me. It wasn't distracting.
So will I love it?
I think you would like it.
Okay.
I think you would have liked it, although I'm not going to suggest that you go out of your way to see it quickly. This isn't a must-see movie, and you know, I guess I'm segueing into my kind of overall wrap-up here, but it's very enjoyable. The chemistry between the two leads, I think, is what made the movie for me. It was hopelessly sweet in places, and I really connected with them. It's all a bit silly, very predictable, and I think it's not the next Twilight. I don't think it's going to have that kind of impact, mainly because the leads aren't teenage hotness. Twilight relies on, you know, teenage girls wanting to put posters of Robert Pattinson on their bedroom walls. You know, this guy here, as cute as he is, doesn't have that same feel. But I like this a lot. So I'm going to quickly sum up and say 7 out of 10.
Hmm.
Nice movie. That's a generous 7 out of 10, but I did like it.
So slightly less than Hansel and Gretel.
Yes. Yes.
Joe, yes, you know you're going to regret that, right?
No, I'm not.
Yes, Dee.
Just to be very clear, there is a lot of mumbo jumbo in this movie about witches and spells and talisman and, you know, Emma Thompson, bless her heart, and, you know, Jeremy Irons. I mean, they go through an unfairly large degree of silliness through the movie. I mean, the things they have to do and say and act, I mean, it's just all out silly. So put that aside, and I think the strength of the movie, as Joe said, resides in the central character between the relationship between the two central characters. And I don't know if it's based, if it comes from the original book on which it is based, or if it's something that they developed during the course of the movie, but I think that's where the strength of the movie lies. I would give it a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
It's not great, but, you know, it has its strength.
Fair enough. So let us know what you think of these movies, both fantastical, both teenage lovey type things. So is that even an expression? Teenage lovey type things.
Yes.
So mail at moviewallers.com for comments, facebook.com/moviewallers, twitter.com/moviewallers as well. Do follow us as in every which way that you can. Don't forget, we have a Movie Wallers online store. Get your mugs and t-shirts and other
anything
Movie Wallers merchandise. We don't make any money. Do we make any money off
that?
No. Well, no.
No, not yet.
All right. Well, tell everyone, make us rich.
Right, that'll really help.
Hey, dude, it's a great logo.
And we have a clear, unanimous, absolute recommendation for Valentine's Day. You know, go see Warm Bodies. Without a doubt. I give a refund money-back guarantee.
Ooh.
If you don't like it, email me at yazdi@moviewallers.com if you don't like it.
Wow. That's
I've got his
offer.
Phone number too. 85. No, I'm not going to give that to you. All right. Until our next podcast, Too Many Movies.
Too little.
Time. Good night.
From me.
And me.
And me.
And me as well.